For 10 long years, the Greeks had battled against the Trojans. For 10 long years, the soaring towers of Troy had withstood their attacks. Then, suddenly, in a flash of flame and a splash of blood, the Trojan city had fallen to them at last. The Trojans had no warning of the attack, no time to gather together their soldiers. Greek warriors appeared out of the night like ghosts. The next day, only the very old, the wounded, and the women remained alive in the cruel dawn. To these lonely survivors, it seemed impossible that only the night before they had believed the Trojan army had been granted victory. But there, in the great square where they had celebrated, the wooden horse still stood, huge and hollow. The day before, when they wheeled the wooden beast through their gates, they had thought the war with the Greeks was over. The gods had been generous to them after all. "Look down there on the plain," they said to each other. "The Greek encampment, deserted." Anyone could see the Greeks had had enough and gone home. "They have gone in their fast ships. There is only rubbish left. And this strange wooden horse. A gift to the gods." But the wooden horse had contained a terrible secret. Greek warriors had been hidden inside. Swinging open now beneath its belly, mocking them, was the trap door through which the soldiers had emerged. A signal to the Greek ships waiting in the darkness off the shore had flashed, and in the quiet night the fleet had returned, keels crunching into the beach. Greek warriors spilled from their ships like grain from a sack and poured numberless through the open, unguarded gates, and death had stalked the city. Now, as smoke from the burning city rises into the morning air, announcing their triumph to the world, one thing occupies the Greek soldiers gathering on the bay shore. The thought of home. An end at last to their faraway exile. The black-hulled ships that had carried them to Troy are quickly prepared for the return journey. Trojan treasure, with wine and stores looted from the city, fill the holds until they groan with the burden. Victory ribbons flutter from the masts. Fine Trojan armor lies heaped in the bows. For the last time they bend to work together, heaving ships off the sand and gravel into the surf. 12 ships, anchored just off the beach, run out their oars with a rumble. The early morning sun casts shadow oars that ripple across the sandy sea bottom beneath their keels. A shouted order floats over the water. The sailors are quiet, looking expectantly towards one ship. It edges clear of the others. In the stern is a stocky man, dressed in a simple white tunic. A thin gold band rests lightly on his dark curly hair. The man is Odysseus, king of Ithaca, lord of Xanthe, hero of Troy. Eyes bright with cunning sweep over his little fleet. He nods in satisfaction. Everything is ready. The signal is given. 12 broad sails unfurl and belly in the breeze. 12 cockerels painted on the sails puff in the wind and crow proudly. Slowly at first, but picking up speed, the ships head seaward. Shouts of farewell from the shore are soon replaced by the rigging creaking in the wind, the rhythm of the oars and the rush of white water curling past the bows. After one last look, the stocky figure with the circlet of gold turns his back on the ruined city and its plume of smoke to face the sea. His oarsmen grin at each other as they haul at their blades. "What tales ye, Odysseus? A week, two at most, and we'll be back in Ithaca," one shouts. "If the gods allow it, young Elpnor. We're not quite there yet," he replies, kissing the thick gold ring engraved with a cockerel he always wears for luck. The others laugh. "Always so cautious, Odysseus." "Telemachus will be a young boy now," he said quietly to the Telamon next to him. "He'll be 11. All that growing up without me, and Penelope alone these 10 years, Polites. A fine husband I've been."